Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find all of my work and Mavs content at Dalton_Trigg on Twitter. You can follow our pod account at Step Back Mavs on Twitter. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. We're everywhere. So be sure to go follow us there. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. And guys, if you leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you're automatically entered for any ticket giveaways we do in the future. We've already done a couple of those this year. And like I said, you know, all you gotta do is just go leave a review and, you know, you'll have your entry there for future giveaways. So be sure to do that. And also join our Discord channel. I'll post the link again today, but I've been posting that on Twitter every time we have a Mavs watch party. We're doing those for every single Mavs game now. I don't host every single one of them, but we are the Mavs Step Back Room, the playback room. We're doing all the games now, so be sure to come join the community there. We have a great time. I had my guy Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball on the last one at halftime of the Mavs big win over the Utah Jazz. It's a great time, and it's free. Go join our Discord where I post all the watch party links, and we'll have a good time together. But today I have a special guest, return guest, my colleague over at DallasBasketball.com. It's Lance Roberson. You can find him at Lance_972 on Twitter. He does a bunch of great stuff for us over there. He has taken over the iconic Mavs Donuts that we've been doing at DallasBasketball.com for decades. And so he's been doing that. He's been doing a Stat of the Week column, and he does a bunch of other different stuff for us. But Lance, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. It's nice to be back on the pod. It's been a while, so thanks for inviting me back.
For sure, for sure. We'll have to do it more often. It seems like it's easier to get this kind of stuff scheduled and, you know, knock it out with guests during the off season more so than it is in season, because there's just so much going on. And it's been a whirlwind ever since, you know, before the trade deadline. This second half of the season, it's just flown by. Like, I can't believe we've got, what is it, 17 games left now. It's this season has flown by for sure. And part of that is because of how fun the Dallas Mavericks have been in this second half of the season. I know, you know, during the first half of the season, it was kind of like a slog. The offense hadn't found a groove yet. The Mavs were still winning games here and there, but it was almost like by the skin of their teeth. It didn't really feel – it felt like they got lucky in a couple of games. Now they've completely turned it around. Since the start of the new year, they're like 22-7. And the only – or 23-7 now. So I didn't count that last win against Utah. So the only team in the league that has more wins – this calendar year than the Mavs are the Phoenix Suns. And the Mavs are now a half game behind the Jazz for home court in the West. which is something they haven't achieved since the 2011 title year. And, I mean, hilariously enough, they're within striking distance of the third and second seed with 17 games left. So that's probably, you know, being a little ambitious, thinking that they'll get to that point. But, man, with the way the Warriors have been slipping lately and the Mavs have the tiebreaker over them, I could see a situation where the Mavs eventually make it up to the third seed. But, you know, they're playing great basketball. Luka had a 35-point, 16-rebound, which was a season-high, 7-assist performance against the Jazz. It was the first time they beat the Jazz this season. The coaching staff made some great adjustments, you know, from the first two Utah matchups to that one. And, you know, they were actually calling Rudy Gobert for some of these obvious fouls that they didn't in the last matchup with them. So that was good. It was good to steal a win against the Kings when Luka didn't play. Spencer Dinwiddie has been amazing. But, Lance, just overall, these last couple of games and just how the Mavs have played at the start of, you know, 2022, I mean, where are you at on this team on your confidence meter and where they could potentially end up when the regular season ends?
All right, so I just want to, you know, point out right now that even if the Mavs caught up to the Jazz, like the Jazz would technically still have the, you know, the tiebreaker. Obviously, they're still going to play him another time. But overall, the offense is just – it's a lot easier to look at because they're not trying to force an issue that we already know they tried to force with Porzingis. And, you know, it's no disrespect to him. It's just – it just ended up that – the way that Porzingis wanted to play was not, you know, syncing with Doncic's strengths. And Dinwiddie, honestly, just came through and surprised everybody. And I think that he's, like, probably one of the biggest reasons why they're on a five-game winning streak. I mean, we pointed out his performance in Sacramento. And obviously, like, my Mavs stat of the week, you know, pointed out to his average of the last five games, 22.8 points. On 67.2 true shooting. So he's shooting efficiently. He's fitting in with Luka. Like, I mean, they're sharing the court. It doesn't matter if Dinwiddie's coming off the bench or starting. You know, he's meshing well with both units. So I think he plays a huge role. And I just think overall the offense is in a groove and the defense has been doing what it's been doing. So I just think Dinwiddie's fit, it plays a huge role in the Mavs, you know, recent stretch.
I know, you know, when that trade happened, because, I mean, I, from the beginning, and our guy Grant Afseth, who also does great work over at DallasBasketball.com as well, we talked about this on one of the – he came on shortly after the trade happened just to talk about the fit and everything. And we both kind of mutually agreed that Dinwiddie, if he can, you know, continue to rehab from his ACL injury, that he was a pretty good fit with the Mavs. I mean, they desperately needed somebody like him off of the bench, a secondary ball handler, a guy who can create his own shot. You know, he draws a ton of fouls. I think Iztok over at Mavs Moneyball posted something the other day saying he's in like the top 1% of guys in the league who draw fouls, which is incredible. And that was the case before right. He got Dallas, and he's continued that now. So the fact that he has come in and, you know, the further away he gets from that injury, the better he's going to be. And you got the morale boost coming from that bad situation in the Wizards locker room to what he's with the Mavs now. Even with me, you know, kind of thinking this was going to be a good fit regardless, you know, the ceiling for the Mavs isn't capped the way I thought it would be. You know, everybody said with Porzingis, the Mavs had a higher ceiling if he could stay healthy. And I kind of agreed with that part of it. But if Dinwiddie's going to play like this, I'm going to have to reassess that line of thinking. Because, I mean, if he's going out there when Luka's out and putting up 36 points and 7 assists and, you know, helping the Mavs get wins without Luka, which is something that has not happened often over the last couple of years, I mean, we need to – change our line of thinking on that. This team could be more dangerous in the postseason than what we had, you know, previously given them credit for. So, and I do think seeding matters. I think having home court advantage matters because unlike the last couple of seasons, Lance, the Mavs actually have a home court advantage again. You know, let me look up the let me see if I can get this pulled up real quick. But the Mavs are 22-11 at home this year. And they're over 500 on the road too. They're 17-14, but that 22-11 at home is so nice to see, because it feels like, and especially last season, you know, they were just they were letting games slip at home that they shouldn't have. There wasn't a true, and maybe that had something to do with the COVID stuff. You know, they were a little bit better. They were 21-15, but then you go back to the season before that. Let's see, the 2019-2020 season, they were 20-18. So almost 500 at home. So it's great to see that. It seems like they actually have a legit home court advantage now. And thanks to their win over Utah on Monday night, they're now just a half game behind them, and they still have a head-to-head coming. They can't win the season series, but they can end it in a 2-2 tie. And they can, you know, they kind of control their own destiny right now too, because you know, Utah, they have some tough games down the stretch, and if they can, if the Mavs can take that second or that final head-to-head matchup, which is the fourth of the season, I think on March 27th, then I think that'll give them that'll pretty much put them in the driver's seat to get home court if they handle the rest of their business. But I mean, what are you thinking about the home court thing? Obviously, if Luka is healthy, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter too much, because he's so good. If he's healthy, he's the best player on the court on most nights, and you have a chance to win against anybody. But I mean, how vital is it, in your opinion, that the Mavs continue the streak they're on and go and capture home court for the first time in over a decade?
I mean, obviously, it'd be great for momentum, and obviously for just a franchise overall. But at the end of the day, I really am, I don't want to say I'm concerned, because I think the Mavs are good enough to get out of the first round. But with the rumors of Kawhi possibly coming back, I mean, I'm more concerned with, obviously home court advantage, but as whatever it takes for them to get like a favorable matchup. And obviously you don't want to like tank during the season, because teams have done that in the past, like to get a certain matchup and it kind of like blows up in their face. Because I really, the Western Conference is a Western Conference. They'll play Utah. I know a lot of fans don't take Utah seriously, but defensively, you know, they're cohesive enough to, like, bother Luka. Yeah, they're missing some pieces, like Ingles. You know, they traded him after he got hurt. You know, people talk about how the Mavs are better than the Denver Nuggets, like, statistic-wise. But, like, would you really want to play Jokic in a best-of-seven? Because we've seen him, you know, upset and torment plenty of teams. And then there's the Memphis part, which once again, yes, the Mavericks have pretty much beat them almost every, I think they've won like the last four or five matchups, I believe, against
Memphis. And they're 3-0 against Memphis this year when Luka plays, which only two of those have featured both Luka and Ja Morant, but Luka's 2-0 versus Ja head-to-head this year.
Yeah, but either way you spin it, man, like the Mavs are going to be challenged either way. So, I mean, I think it's important. I'm just ready for the playoffs to start, and we just go ahead and see it instead of speculating, because honestly, you can do a pros and cons for each matchup, and I can give you about 3 to 4 cons to go with the pros. So it's just time for the Mavs to prove it, you know, because we've been talking about, you know, pretty much how they played the Clippers 2 years in a row. And honestly, that, you know, I think if the Mavs played anyone else last season, except for, you know, Phoenix, they would have got out of the first round. It just so happens they played the Clippers 2 years in a row. So I just want to, you know, I'm ready to see it happen at this point. So sorry for the boring answer. It's just,
The discourse has been the
same the last couple months. So,
well, the Mavs are definitely in that, you know, they definitely have to prove it state. You know, I've talked with my guy Matt Galatson, and even Kirk Henderson over at Mavs Moneyball to an extent, about, you know, as good as the Mavs have been and as capable as they are with this newfound defensive identity, and Luka actually having more weapons around him than he ever has in his career, you still have to go get the monkey off your back and get out of the first round series for people to take you seriously. It's kind of like, and I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, because obviously that 2011 championship team had a bunch of veterans, you know, that had been through stuff for years and years, and it all culminated with them going out there and winning a title. But, you know, it's kind of the same concept with that team. Is like, you know, the Mavs had lost so many first round series heading into that postseason that everybody was picking against them, even though they had a really good regular season.
Yeah, so, I think for most of the rounds, like they were the underdogs
in every single round. But, you know, that's kind of the same thing this year. You know, I think until, even though the Mavs are visibly better, you know, statistically they're better, aesthetically, sorry, got tongue tied there.
You got it.
You know, everything is just better so far, but they yeah. still have to go out and they have to officially get past, you know, that first round hurdle. And if they do that, then, you know, the sky's the limit, because then everybody has even more confidence. It's like, okay, now, you know, a burden is lifted and they can play more freely. But that's definitely like the benchmark for me. Like, they have to get past the first round, and then anything after that, I will be okay with. Obviously you want more, after that, but if they can just get past the first round, you know, we'll see how it goes from there.
And Dalton, we didn't even mention, they have a whole new, you know, coaching setup. So how is that going to look in the best of seven series? You know, we don't even know. Right. Like, it's been so long since I've seen Jason Kidd in a playoff scenario as the main guy, as the coach. I mean, like, how is it going to go? Like, now, obviously, you know, you can say this about almost any, you know, new coach on a new team, but, you know, what if they played the Clippers? I mean, that's Tyronn Lue is like one of the more underrated coaches in the league. I mean, even Michael Malone, like for the Nuggets, I mean, he's kind of stepped up coaching wise. There's a lot of coaching matchups where we could see some things like exposed in a best of seven, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. I just think it's not even just on the players. I think it's on the coaching staff too, to step up.
Oh yeah. I agree with that 100%. And I mean, I get it. I know postseason basketball is a completely different animal from regular season stuff, but I do think we've seen like some hopeful things from the coaching staff, especially with some of these individual matchups, like the next couple times they play a certain team. Like, we just saw it with this Utah win. The Mavs played them right out of the All-Star break and lost 114-109 in Utah. And that was a game that they very, very well could have won if a couple things had gone their way. And, you know, the way Rudy Gobert shut down Luka in the ending part of that game, you could kind of see how Kidd and his coaching staff made some adjustments from that game to what we witnessed on Monday night. You know, with there was a lot more screening, and, you know, there were a couple instances where Gobert was just kind of confused on defense, and he was getting into the body of his man more because he was off balance, and it created fouls, and, you know, stuff like that is encouraging to me. And then, you know, there's a couple other instances too, you know, where like one example that comes to mind is the two games they played against the Chicago Bulls. The first game they lost, the second game, you know, they had a different strategy for that one, and they ended up winning it and holding the Bulls to, I believe that was one where they held them under 100 points, which was crazy. So, and there's another chance to see some of that tonight too. Now, I know the Knicks aren't good, but they beat the Mavs by like 20 or almost 20 the last time they played them.
It was embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing. It was one of the worst games of the season for the Mavs at Madison Square Garden. As good as Dwight Powell has been this year, I mean, it was a complete dud for him in New York, and they lost by like 20 points. So it'll be interesting to see how they, you know, recover from that tonight and see how they play it differently against a Knicks team they're losing a lot of firepower in this one. There's a lot of guys out. They don't have Derrick Rose. They don't have, let me see, who else did they not have tonight?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I have to look and see. There's a lot of people out, but the main thing is Julius Randle is not out, and he's good enough now to where he has like exceeded the versus Mavs All-Star label, but he still raises his game against the Mavs every time he plays them, and it's in Dallas, so you have to worry about that. But he exploded for 40-something points, I think 46 in the last game for New York, so hopefully he got that out of his system before – before this upcoming game. We'll see how it goes. But Lance, we're going to move on to one of our last topics here. But Luka has been on an absolute tear. Basically, since he came back from COVID protocols on New Year's Eve. Or no, it was the second when they played OKC. So he came back from protocols in 2022. He's been on an absolute tear since. As the months have progressed, he has raised his game even more. And now it's gotten to the point where he's starting to get more traction on the MVP conversation. And, you know, statistically and like efficiency-wise and everything, I don't think he's going to end up winning the award or anything. But I do think there's a very strong case for him to be an MVP finalist at the very least. So top three in MVP voting if he continues this tear and he ends up with, you know, a better record than some of these other teams. Because, you know, as Jokic, as great as Jokic is and as great as he has been this year, he's had a historical season and he won the MVP last year. You know, the Mavs are still ahead of them in the standings, and I know they have a bunch of injury stuff you have to factor in too, but you know, the Mavs have a better record than the Nuggets. The Mavs are only four games behind the Grizzlies. And Ja Morant, you know, even though he has had an outstanding season, he hasn't really had as good of a season as Luka, and the Grizzlies are still 12-2 without him this year. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, for me, and I mean, I don't know exactly what all these people look at when they're voting on this, but when you look at the fiber of what it means to be an MVP, I mean, that kind of, I would factor that into it pretty heavily. You know, how did the team perform when Ja Morant wasn't able to play and the Grizzlies were just fine without him? Whereas the Mavs, they're 7-9 when Luka doesn't play. So, you know, I would put Luka ahead of Ja. just because of that. And then, you know, you look in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks are 41-25. I mean, basically the same record as the Mavs. The Philadelphia 76ers, 40-24. So Giannis and Joel Embiid. I feel like I'm not being an irrational looking through Mavs glasses type of guy when I say that, you know, Luka has a legitimate shot to be an MVP finalist. But what do you think about it?
Okay, so I think Jokic and Embiid are locks to be finalists. It's up to them. It's their award to lose. I really think it's going to be Embiid or Jokic. And honestly, I think it's going to be Embiid because, I mean, you've heard talking heads, you know, literally say we've gave it to Jokic already, as if they're already admitting that they're not voting for him again, even though, I mean, to me, he's putting out way more spectacular numbers with the less help on a nightly basis than Embiid. But I wouldn't be mad if Embiid lost it. Now, that third spot, that's where it's kind of up in arms, because usually I'm all about seeding, but like everyone's separated by like pretty much, aside from the Phoenix Suns, like it's pretty much like a 2 or 3 game like separation, and some of these 1 game separation from, you know, the third to the sixth seed. Like the East is just crazy with their standings right now, you know. So I really think it's gonna end up being Jokic, Embiid, or, you know, inverse that however you'd like. And then that third spot, I think Giannis is going to end up being a finalist. But if someone wants to put Luka in that third spot, I wouldn't be as mad. But it's just – and I know people, they kind of get irritated when I say this, but Luka's slow start should be used as punishment in the MVP discussion. I know he's been having a great New Year's, but at some point it's going to have to matter that he starts slow, you know. And, yeah, and hopefully he'll address that next season. But that's my train of thought.
Yeah, and I mentioned this on Twitter briefly the other day too. I mean, I think he's played well enough to make up for the slow start to get into that finalist spot. I don't think it's good enough for him to win it unless he just, you know, continues its absolute tear for the last 17 games and the other guys just kind of fall off a little bit, which I don't foresee right. that happening. But I mean, you're right. I mean, the slow start is something that's keeping him from being a true MVP favorite, because he's gone into the last two regular seasons as the odds-on favorite, to win MVP, and every single time he starts out slow and he's not in the best of shape. And to his credit, he hired a nutritionist and everything, and he really worked himself into the best shape possible this season. But, you know, we'll see if that carries over into the summer, and we'll see how he starts next season, because I believe if he can start the season in the shape that he's in right now, I think it's just, you know, like all bets are off. I think he's actually the MVP favorite, and, you know, he won't have like as much competition, because if he starts in that kind of shape and the Mavs are firing on all cylinders from the get-go, you know, they're going to be closer to that 1 and 2 seed spot by season's end. And then, you know, it's less of a debate in my opinion. So,
but Dalton, I just want to add, I know you said you don't know like what people's like train of thought is when they're doing the MVP voting, but it's quite obvious that Ja Morant is like, the narrative is like, he's becoming like the face of the league. He's this, he's that. I really think that, although I think Luka deserves it over him, I think Morant might end up getting more votes based on the machine push by a lot of the, you know, the big networks and stuff. So I mean, we should take a look at that.
I mean, look, he is super exciting. I mean, he's like prime Derrick Rose athletic with a little bit better jump shot. And, you know, I think I get the appeal of Ja Morant. I enjoy watching the guy. I mean, he's been incredible. I just can't get over the hurdle of, you know, the Grizzlies still winning 12 games and only losing 2 times when he didn't play. I mean, that shows how well the Grizzlies have drafted. That shows how well they've done adding pieces to the roster through trade, free agency, all avenues. That front office has just done an incredible job assembling that team. And although Ja Morant might be playing, you know, at an MVP level statistically, I mean, it's been kind of proven that he may not be the most valuable player on the team based on based on how his team has performed without him. I mean, that's just my thing. I don't know how much people actually put into that specific stat when they're voting on it, but I do see the appeal of him. He's very exciting. He's very good. I just think if you're, you know, looking at it with all factors considered, I think Luka is more valuable to his team than Ja Morant is to the Grizzlies based on, you know, what we've seen this season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go down too much of a rabbit hole. I just think American media wants an American star to latch on to. Like,
and I agree with that too. I think that definitely has something to do with it as well. And I mean, look, if Ja Morant ends up being higher than Luka in the MVP race, that's just going to give Luka another chip on his shoulder. You know, we saw he will not come out and say this, and I've mentioned this on a few different pods before this. He won't ever come out and say this, but he absolutely thought about Ja Morant taking his all-star starter spot this year. And I think that is like one of the factors that has fueled the second half of the season run. You know, he was just thinking, he's like, uh-oh, well, this guy's come and he's taking something of mine. Well, I got to go back out there and prove myself again. And definitely in those Mavs-Grizzlies matchups, you can tell Luka takes it very, very personally, which is one reason why I would, you know, be okay with the Mavs playing the Grizzlies in a first-round series. They say that be careful what you wish for in certain situations, and, you know, I might come back to regret that if it happens, but I just really think the Mavs kind of have the Grizzlies' number. And with the way the seeding is, with the way, you know, as well as both teams have played, I don't think it's something that's going to happen, because I think the Mavs would have to fall to like at least sixth, to have a chance of playing the Grizzlies. But even then, the Grizzlies might be at the second seed because of how the Warriors have played. So I think what it's going to come down to is the Mavs will either play Utah, Denver, or the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. But either way, I think Luka will still have a chip on his shoulder. And even if he doesn't – even if he's not an all-star – not an all-star. Even if he's not an MVP finalist, Lance, I think he has played well enough to where he has overtaken Steph Curry for that all-NBA first-team spot.
Well, I agree. Steph's shooting has been – has plummeted, and also, I mean, their overall, they lost to the Lakers. They've been losing an alarming amount of games since losing Draymond Green. And, you know, unless, like, Draymond comes back and Steph, like, gets back into form, I could definitely see Luka. Well, okay, so rationally speaking, I can see it, but at the same time, we keep on talking about the media and the voters. Yeah, I could see also a picture where Steph keeps that first team all NBA in just because off reputation and the strong start, which I hate that I keep bringing up strong starts, but I know the media likes to punish people for those slow starts. But
the reputation thing, I could definitely see that. But, you know, I've actually been surprised at how hard the media has been on the war. And I mean, I know they've been awful. I think they've lost eight of their last 10 games. Or maybe it's seven of their last 10 because they just won against the Clippers last night. But anyway, you know, the media has been pretty tough on them lately, especially on Steph, because like you said, his shooting has plummeted. You know, he's still shooting 36% from three, but like for Steph Curry, that's like what, 25% for a normal player. So, you know, he's just, he is kind of, tailed off at the end of this season, and the way Luka has been, especially if he can continue it for this last 17 games or however many games he plays, because I'm sure he'll get some rest as the playoffs get closer. But I really do think he has a legitimate shot of getting his third consecutive All-NBA first team selection, which would be incredible after the slow start we keep mentioning that he had. And hopefully he comes into next season, you know, after two straight years of this and the social media and the national media ridicule and, you know, all the crap he had to deal with this year with people talking about his weight and everything, and then Ja Morant taking that next step and taking a lot of the attention away from him. Like, maybe all of that balled into one is what Luka needed, you know, to get to that next level and, you know, to have that next level of maturation. And, you know, maybe it'll – maybe the Mavs will explode from here because of it, because they've already kind of exceeded expectations based on what everybody thought would happen when the Mavs hired Jason Kidd. That has turned out amazingly. I mean, the Mavs are still technically in the fifth spot, so they still have to – climb the ladder and get to home court and, you know, continue to excel and get higher. But so far, so good for everything with the Dallas Mavericks. And we'll see how they finish off this season and who they end up playing in the postseason. And we'll have to come back on here and, you know, do a playoff preview as well. I'll get you and our guy Grant and Matt, and we'll kind of get everybody in here to kind of give their take before the postseason starts. But Lance, I appreciate you joining me, man. Hope you have a great rest of the day. And you got anything else before we take off here?
No, thanks, Dalton, for having me on. I just want to let the listeners know that I am working on an award piece. I know it's kind of taken me a while. It's just a lot of moving parts have happened in the league. And it seems like the award races for MVP, the discussion changes like every other day. So I'm just trying to make sure I get a concrete, you know, discussion going in my piece. But yeah, thanks again, Dalton, for having me on. And stay tuned. And Dalton always has great guests on, and look forward to hearing your next episode, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it, man. And yeah, y'all definitely go over to DallasBasketball.com. Like, I haven't even been able to keep up as much with, you know, as much good content has been up on the site the last couple of days. I mean, there is just wads of Mavs content on there. Y'all go check it out. You know, if you have time to kill before tonight's Mavs Knicks game, I mean, you can, you name it, it's on DallasBasketball.com. So go do that. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify for a chance to win some Mavs tickets down the line. If you leave us a review, you're automatically entered for a chance to win those giveaways. So be sure to do that and go join our Discord. We're doing another watch party for tonight's Mavs Knicks game. Again, I will post that link. It'll be in the description box of this episode. So if you're listening, you know, wherever you're listening to this podcast, it'll be linked at the bottom of the description box. And then I'll also tweet it out here shortly as well. So be sure to go join our Discord channel, our community there. And when I post the link to those watch parties, you know, join them. And it's a good time. We have a chat there, and we can do some stage talk on video. It's a really cool thing. Playback is like the future of how people will watch sports together. So y'all be sure to do that. Guys, appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.